AM 700, KBYR, Anchorage. It's time for Conversations Unlimited with your host, Dave Stroh.
Good morning and welcome. Let me introduce to you my co-host for this next hour, Dr. Todd Kersey of Kersey Chiropractic here in Anchorage. He believes that the body has a tremendous power to heal itself and that it just needs no interference for better health. He joins us now from our studios at 9th and Gamble. Good morning, Dr. Kersey.
Good morning, David.
Always a pleasure to see you.
And
whether it's because of back pain, neck pain, headaches, car accident injuries, sports injuries, or any other type of injury or body pain, more people are finding both short-term and long-term relief via their chiropractors.
Ooh.
Here in Anchorage, as you know, you and I are hearing more and more testimony from people who are turning to chiropractic care to help them achieve pain relief, improve posture, and better overall health. However, if you are new to the world of chiropractic care and how it can help you, then you might have some questions about the kinds of chiropractic treatment you would receive from choosing a chiropractor. We put those questions Dr. Kersey this morning. Dr. Kersey, are you ever offended when someone new to chiropractic care asks you, well, what are your qualifications?
Oh, the old, I was talking to a buddy last night, and he said he was talking to a guy who said, well, you know, chiropractors aren't doctors. And he went in defense.
We've heard that before.
We've heard that. And I know a chiropractor. He didn't even have any college. He just went to 2 years of chiropractic school. That's not true. And we are educated physicians, chiropractic physicians, doctors of chiropractic, whatever you want to call it. I like to call it a chiropractor. But
yes,
we are. We have 8 years of school. It's a 5-year curriculum in chiropractic school. We do in just under 4 years. And they require a college degree before that. So I have a major in biology and a minor in psychology, and it went on to chiropractic school after that. And so it's actually more classroom hours in seat than a medical doctor in chiropractic school. So they do different things than we do, but we actually have more hours in a classroom than they do. So there's all kinds of statistics and gunk, but we are primary health care providers in the state of Alaska. So you can come to us with any single problem and we'll figure out what's going on with you. And if it's something we can handle, great. If it's out of our scope of practice, we refer you. And it's not like we bring everybody in and say, oh, we can cure this. We don't cure anything.
No, you don't.
We adjust and get to the cause of the problem. And there's many different types of chiropractic care. If you want to talk about those things today, that's great. But we'll touch on those, I guess.
What are people trying to get at when they ask you about your qualifications? There has to be a singular
it's fear.
Question.
It's fear. You know, what am I doing here? Is this going to hurt? You know, am I in a qualified position? Is this the right thing for me? And sometimes they're there because maybe their spouse made them go. Maybe their friend said, you got to try this. Maybe and maybe they did some research. Maybe they're watching TikTok videos of people with towels wringing their necks. Well, that's not what I want to. So there's all kinds of reasons why they visit. Yesterday we had two young ladies. One young lady, never been to a chiropractor, 27 years old, always has the constant pain in the upper back, constant. And her friends were just raving about her, raving about chiropractic. So she said, I finally came in. I'm super nervous. And I said, well, there's nothing to be nervous about. By the end of the visit, she was just super smiling. This was fantastic. This was wonderful. And next young lady, a little bit younger than her, came in and 10 years younger than her, and came in after a car accident and headaches and off balance and just and all kinds of problems. But her mother, who is recently a new patient, said, this is where you need to go. So she got in there within 2 weeks after the car accident, and she was super nervous. Young ladies that are super nervous. And she did a great job. She was super smiling, super happy when she left. And so once they get in there and figure out what that is, what we're doing, and we explain to them what we're doing, we explain the x-rays, we explain the exam findings, we explain what's going on, we explain what protocol we have after they meet with us, well, then they're a little bit less nervous.
How did people come to believe that a chiropractor's training is almost negligible?
Well, that's the old... The other professions have been trying to get rid of chiropractic for 127 years. Chiropractors were jailed for practicing medicine without a license. We never practiced medicine. We never will practice medicine. We practice chiropractic. And the Wilkes lawsuit, I believe it was 87. It seems like that was too late in the game, but I believe it was 87 where the Wilkes lawsuit, the Wilkes versus AMA, the American Medical Association, we sued the AMA because you couldn't refer to a chiropractor. You couldn't get an MRI from a chiropractor couldn't refer for an MRI, and that's when MRI was first starting. You couldn't be friends with a chiropractor. You couldn't go to the yacht club with the chiropractor because that was against the medical practice, and we were, they were trying to get rid of chiropractors. So there was a lot of poo-pooing of the chiropractic profession, and now it's not like that. We won the lawsuit, right? A chiropractor, a lawyer, it beat the entire team of the AMA because it was not right. So now we refer to medical doctors. We're friends with medical doctors. Yes. I have them over for my house. They have them for my house for dinner. We went to a dinner with a medical doctor the other day. We are all friends, and we all refer to each other for the benefit of the patient. MRI people, when you couldn't refer for an MRI as a chiropractor, now we have every MRI place in town saying, oh, please refer to us. Mm-hmm. Please refer to us. So, but it is the old stigma of the chiropractors that didn't have that much education. Well, medical doctors didn't have that much education back in the day either, you know. And osteopaths, same thing. So we've all evolved. And David Palmer, the grandson of the founder of chiropractic, was responsible for making Palmer College, which is on my hat today, the university, Palmer University systems, and got the education up. And it's accredited colleges. So
yeah. Is there a grace period for young chiropractors coming out of Palmer College of Chiropractic, in that do they serve an apprenticeship or do they immediately set up shop and start adjusting?
That's a great question. We do give them a little grace, but they are, it's interesting. When you come out of chiropractic school, you are already seeing patients in the student clinic. So you have student clinics, then you have outreach clinics, and you have to see a certain number of patients and do a certain number of exams and have so many x-ray credits, and you have to fulfill the qualifications that you can go out into the community and serve. So you could go out and open a practice tomorrow. Will you know the right systems? Will you really know how to bill? Will you know how to treat your staff? It's nice to have a little associateship. You don't need to really have an internship, but we actually are part of the Palmer College of Chiropractic intern program.
Oh.
So we've had many chiropractors come in on their last trimester of college and work with us and see the business system, see the way we practice, and see how we treat people, and not treating symptoms, but taking care of people.
Yes.
And we've had those things so they can learn and they can grow. And whether you do a preceptor program, as we call it, the internship program, or you work with a chiropractor for a year or two or 20 years. Dr. Foley started as an associate almost 21 years ago, as just came up here to practice. Before he was licensed, because back then it was licensed every 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
And the way it fell, he couldn't get licensed in Alaska. So he was doing exam and x-rays at the office, and then decided to stay on. And he's been my friend, my partner, my colleague for 21 years. And you know, it'd be hard to imagine him not going that. Go out and, you know, open your own practice after a year. Well, no, we make a good team, so it works out well.
How long have you been practicing chiropractic, and are you always practicing chiropractic?
Ooh, good question. Over 27, let's see, it's a month, 27 years, 8 months.
Is it possible to achieve a level of mastery in chiropractic?
Yeah, if you read, I think it's Bounce is a good book. There's another book, I think it's Bounce is the one that talks about 10,000 hours of purposeful practice. And once you reach that 10,000 hours of mm-hmm. no matter what you do, playing the violin or practicing chiropractic or practicing medicine, you have that expertise. You have that masterful system going on.
Yes.
So, yeah, it's always practice. It's always learning. We just got done a four-day, 32 hours in a seat, and then meetings, and then lunches, and then and breakfast at the Alaska Chiropractic Society biannual convention, and I happened to be the MC of the entire show.
Very good. I hope you made us proud.
It was really good. They gave me a nice award, and it was fantastic. But we're all learning, you know. And we do things like, you know, I sat because we're the certified chiropractic sports physicians. There's I don't know how many 25 or 30 of us in town, and you have to fulfill certain requirements for that. And not only do you have to fulfill those requirements for continuing education, you have to do it for your license in general. So sometimes classes intermix, and mm-hmm. that works. So I took a rock tape class, a kinesiology taping class.
How to do that now?
I'm like, well, this isn't me. I'm an adjuster only. And I took the class, and I was dumbfounded about what I learned about the skin and how it's not just bracing with tape. It's actually the nervous system and how the kinesiology affects the proprioception and all this other stuff. And I'm a fan of rock tape.
Did it make sense to you?
Yeah, my shoulder feel. If we tape, my shoulder feels freaking great. I was like, this is pretty cool. So we did that. A lot of x-ray, a lot of ethics, a lot of just overall strategy on how to be a better chiropractor to serve your patients better. And it wasn't, let's get more patients off. It was all about helping others, and it was great.
Will you introduce what you just learned over the weekend into your practice?
Yeah, I did yesterday. There was a couple people that we had some Achilles tendon problems that weren't going away, and so we taped a couple of Achilles tendons. We taped a shoulder or two. We'll introduce what we think. It's not chiropractic. I don't think it removes nerve interference.
Right.
And you know, we don't do a lot of therapy at my office, right? We don't sit there and put people in muscle stim. We used to. We don't. But we've done all that stuff. But the things that are making sense. You know, I was just talking to my friend last night. We were talking about his ankle and his Achilles tendon. And I said, we do a little therapy. You're here for maybe you're at a once a week adjustment. You do a little therapy, but you're not doing that every day with the taping. It's more like you're doing that and you're leaving it on for 3 days. You actually have some kind of long lasting effect for it. So it was interesting. There was a lower and upper extremity doctor from her and her husband. He was built like Sylvester Stallone. This guy, he comes in. He's from New York. He's Italian. He actually lives in Jersey. And I thought, man, this guy takes off his shirt for the test that they were doing for the show. I said, dude, can you put your shirt back on? You're making us all look bad. But she was testing certain muscles, and you know, people will come in and say, oh, I was told I have piriformis muscle contracture or muscle syndrome, piriformis syndrome. And the way she did the little test, and she was able to isolate the gluteus medius from the minimus, from the maximus, and she was just going, and her tests were, she wrote a book, her tests were just fantastic to find out exactly what was going on. Do you have a weak muscle, or is it not being innervated correctly from interference from the nervous system, which was super cool. So we're working with muscles, we're working with all these things, these structures, but we're trying to figure out where it's coming from. What's the cause of that? So really super cool stuff.
Is this new taping system you just learned, is it a brace?
No, that's the thing. It's not bracing, really. It's just getting the body aware of where the structure should be. So, and you see it. You see it on the athletes. They all have tape all over.
Seen it at various runs here in Anchorage I've emceed.
Yeah, the massage therapist, physical therapist, a lot of athletic trainers, they all use the kinesiology tape, and it was fun. But it was interesting. I thought that's something new that as far as the CCSP, the Certified Chiropractic Sports Physician, that's something that we could use if I decide to go be a sideline doc on an NFL team. That's nice to know. It's good to have that knowledge, and that's what we're looking for, knowledge. So are we always practicing? Are we always trying to get better? Absolutely. We're always trying to learn to actually just benefit the patient. Hey, I understand, and I don't have to tape. I don't have to ever have to tape anybody again, but I can say, hey, run down the street, this person's a great taper, and maybe that'll help you. Or hey, that muscle innervation that you have a weakness with here, go to this person over here. They do a great job in strengthening that specifically for this purpose. So there's all kinds of things we can look for. And like we were talking about in the beginning, when you come into our office, we can figure out what's going on with you. We can send you anywhere. We have that ability to figure out what's going on with you and benefit the patient the most.
Are you concerned about the patient experience and the references that come back to you and the chiropractic industry?
Always. Always concerned about that.
Word of mouth?
Our practice is run by word of mouth. And, a couple people have come by from the radio show. And that's fantastic. But with that, our purpose is not for us to get patients off the radio show. Our purpose is to benefit the community to understand a little bit more about chiropractic. And if we can have a little bit better understanding of what chiropractic is and what it isn't, then that's our job, right? Our job is not to be here like, we say, call 569-9355. You can call us. And if you want to call us for another chiropractor, do that. If you want to call us and figure out some information, do that. But we're here for just information. But we're always concerned with what other people think. We're always doing the best job we can possibly do. And like I told my patient yesterday, the nervous young ladies, I said, I will always tell you the truth. It's always going to be about you. It's always going to be your benefit, not my benefit. And if you have any questions, ask, because it's a two-way street. So I want the patient to have a great experience from the time they walk into the door and see wonderful Mariah with her happy, smiling face to the time or Dawn. Or Angela when she rolls back in.
Angela, too.
When she rolls back in. And I want to... poor Angela. She's getting better. She can stand. She can't walk, but she can stand, and that's good. So, our wonderful Angela got stabbed. So we're always looking for... I have one bad Google review, and he was not a patient. Okay. So there you go.
Is there a name for the type of chiropractic care that you have perfected over the last 27 years?
Yes, it's called chiropractic.
Okay, there
yes.
we go.
You know, I think we all have our different techniques. Well, are you a Gonstead doctor? Are you a diversified? Are you an activator? Are you toggle recoil? What do you do? What do you associate? Well, I do the Kersey technique. Dr. Foley does the Foley technique, and Dr. Adams does the Adams technique. Dr. Belon, Dr. Atkins, and Farrimore, and Young, and the Ryans, and everybody. They all have their own techniques. We all take our own. And Dr. Kennedy, he's doing things differently now. They've developed techniques over time that works for them, right? So if we know that what we do is we take all our information, we take our techniques, we take what we've learned and apply that correctly, and maybe there's a little spin on what I do versus what everybody else does. Maybe they do things a little bit differently than I do. As long as we're perfecting one technique, I think. And on that note, I think if you have one technique and do it correctly over time for 10,000 hours, that's when you actually succeed. When you're doing every other thing, like if I said, oh, I'm going to rock tape, I'm going to do activator, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, I'm going to put the balloon in my nose, I'm going to blow up my sinuses and do the structural, that's a cool course, hit the cranial bones. If I'm trying to do everything, I'm not going to do such a hot job. If I'm trying to focus on one thing and do it really, really well, that's what I like to do. And if I have fun with rock tape or something, and I'm laughing the whole time, I turn out to be a pretty good taper, so that's good. But I mean, if I can do those things and benefit the patient or something, but I'm still gonna stick to my core techniques, and I'm gonna do what Kersey does. I'm gonna do my technique, and that's the way I'm gonna do it until my shoulder blows out or I go down like a hot mess. But so I think if whatever you do, do it well and try to focus on one. And other people may have a different opinion. Well, I like to do everything. I like to do a splattering of everything. All right, just better have a system for it and better know what you're doing.
When does a chiropractor reach their zenith? When are they really good at their craft? Or is it a continual process with each and every patient that comes through the door?
Oh, man, it was last week for me. I think I'm done. No, it's just, I'd say it's a continual practice. I think I was listening to our radiologist, our in-town radiologist,
yes.
Dr. Tanya Adams, who is the only certified diplomat of the American Board of Chiropractic Radiologists, and she spoke and did a fantastic job as usual. And I always liked how she did the ABCs, the alignment, the bone, and she does the way she goes through X-rays is a set system. And then she said she stopped going from her complete system to looking at what she saw first and then going back through her system. And then now she's changed it back to that. So I think that once, you know, we get super involved in the system of what we're doing, and then sometimes we get away from that and then we have to get back to that. So I think the systems are of what you do and how you assess things and make sure you don't miss anything is super important. So I think you're at your peak when you're still doing those systems and you're working for that patient. I think when you start getting lackadaisical or be like, oh yeah, I've seen this before, and you don't really pay attention, that's when you'll get in trouble. So I think you still have to really get into that that groove every single day.
And let's talk about that groove. How do you determine specifics in a patient in regards to their condition or their injury?
Oh, that's great. So let's use X-ray because we like X-ray and car accident yesterday person yesterday. Let's go with the lower part of the cervical spine.
Okay.
You explain to me all your symptoms, right? You tell me what's going on. I look at your history. I look at what you've had and what's going on, and we go through all that. All right, the first person. We'll go with the first person. She tells me everything is going on, and I said, great. What it sounds like to me is you have a lower cervical problem, a lower neck problem, going into this little thing into the upper back, creating that burning feeling, creating that tension. You get massage all day, every day for months and years on end, but it's not getting better. So here's what I think the cause of that problem is. And then we do the blood pressure, height, weight, bilateral scales, reflexes, sensory tests, orthopedic, neurological testing. We do it all and then figure out, okay. And then because you had all these problems, because you had these things, we actually took an X-ray of this young lady yesterday and we saw before I take the X-ray, I said, here's what we're going to see. We're going to see a lower cervical problem. We're going to see a misalignment here. We're going to see this in the upper back. This is what I think I'm going to see. Because I want to know what I'm seeing on that X-ray before I take it. I want to know. I want to have that knowledge before I go into that. And I'm not just guessing. Oh, well, let's see what an X-ray does. so we took that, and it's exactly what we found. And I said, oh, you forgot to tell me about the car accident you had 8 years ago. And she said, well, how do you know I had a car accident 8 years ago? I said, because you have lower cervical degeneration of about 8 years duration. And this is not what it should look like. This is the start of degenerative changes. And this is what we see. She said, it was like 8.5 years ago. And I thought, ooh, I was pretty good today.
Good.
So we want to know what we're finding. And that's exactly what you're saying. The specificity of what we do and how we do it and what we're looking for. We have that idea, and we take all that information, and then we utilize it, and then we figure out what's going on, and then we give you a plan of action. We don't just say, oh, you got COVID, go home. We say, you have a subluxation of this, and this is how long it's going to take. In our experience, you may be, you know, you may need two times a week for the next 6 weeks. You may need three times a week. You got into a car accident yesterday. You can't move. You're in an 8 out of 10 on a pain scale. You'll be here every day for a couple weeks because that's what you need. That's what the protocol is. So we have all our protocols, we have all our systems, but it's always designed for that specific patient.
Are there in chiropractic different techniques for different conditions or even different ailments?
Yeah. So there are different things that we can do for different ailments, but we're always going to look to that spine for the cause of the problem. And a lot of, well, you think everything's a problem. You think everything's a spinal misalignment, and you have your hammer, which is your hands, and that's what you're going to use. Yeah, we're going to get that. We're going to make sure that all the nerve interference is removed from the spine so that nervous system can freely flow and that life force can come through. Yes, we're going to do that. But you may have something else. You may have an ankle that needs to be adjusted because you sprained your ankle, or maybe you got into a car accident yesterday and you pushed so hard on the brake that you sprained your ankle and your knee. Yeah, we're going to do some different techniques for that as well. So we're looking for to the spine for the cause of all disease, like Hippocrates said. But we're also looking at the entire person. Somebody was joking around, what are you, one of those holistic doctors? And I said, you mean looking at the entire person and making sure we know exactly what's going on with the entire person, not just looking at one little tiny symptom? Yeah, I go with holistic on that one. I never, when I went to chiropractic school, I'm like, am I holistic? What does holistic mean? But you didn't, you're holistic. What does that even mean? The whole body, looking at the entire structure. Yes, holism, whatever you want to call it. But we do different techniques. Different techniques for different things.
You bring up the use of your hands. Do you use your hands or an instrument for the adjustment that you perform?
Are these bad chickens right here.
These
two hammers Thor? Right here. And I got
Thor 1 and Thor 2.
Thor 1, I got my hammers. Thor couldn't pick up my hammer. So, that's what I do. I don't use an instrument. I would have, over the last 27 and 8 months, years, I would have saved my shoulder and my problems because I hurt myself in 88. So,
yes, you did.
But I wouldn't have maybe as many problems, but if I used an instrument, and it's less impactful on the doctor to use an instrument. There's different techniques that you can use that are less forceful. I'm not saying forceful, but I mean, it is like wrestling bears all day long. You know, we see some of these guys come in. They're big dudes, right?
Yes, they are.
And it takes work. I'm not. You can go on your YouTube videos. You've showed me videos where the guys are using hammers and chisels and tink, 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 tink. And they're talking and they're just looking around and they're just tinking. I don't think there's any specificity to that. But there are, like, the activator technique, super specific, super great checks and balances of where they're going and what vertebrae they're adjusting. You may not feel like you got adjusted, but you got adjusted, and you'll know it because you actually function better. So I use my hands.
Do you apply a deeper joint popping adjustment or a low force adjustment, and what's the difference between the two?
Well, the definition of the adjustment is the high velocity, low force, high amplitude. So it's supposed to be low force, but I may get in there with a little bit more force than others. My force is probably a little greater than some to get cavitation of the joint, to get the joint mobility, so you're actually hearing that audible, that nitrogen gas being released out of the synovial joints. So you mine might be a little more forceful. It's not always forceful. We have a young lady yesterday. She's 80. What is she? 80-something. Anyway, she's a little older, so her spine's a little more brittle. Smoker, osteoporotic, those kind of things.
Can you be gentle and tender with somebody of that condition?
I can. Can you believe it? Can you believe that I can actually lighten my force? But yeah, we can. And I have to be more gentle.
Yes.
And with you, am I more gentle with you? No, I'm not. I'm not going to go through plates and screws and rods and things and try to force that up. But like we had a guy yesterday who's got some spinal conditions, some spinal enthesiopathic changes, which his vertebrae have not been moved. He got into a car accident a year ago, and he was like, it was like solid steel adjusting him in the beginning. And you know, I got in there, and he's a bigger dude. And after a while, so now his thoracic spine actually moves, and we get movement of his vertebrae. But a light force for him over the last year would have not done it. Why is he under chiropractic care for a year and still under car accident claim? He got hit hard.
Oh, boy.
I mean, he got pretty trashed. So, but he's still responding. He's still getting better. He's seeing less now than he was in the beginning. But he's doing everything he needs to get done. But his thoracic spine is now moving, which. In the beginning, after the car accident, it was solid. It was like solid steel. Plus, with the degenerative changes, I had to get in there a little deeper. No, I'm not breaking up. I'm not breaking up bone, but we are getting the mobility back.
I want to talk about something you mentioned just earlier. There are YouTube chiropractors who mic themselves and their patients for the sound of joint popping. Is that all for show? And is there any healing actually going on? Can joints be popped just to be popped with no wellness value whatsoever?
That's a great question. My favorite one is the lady with a chip bag. And she goes on and she does the potato chips. And she's...
Yes.
It's pretty funny. Just because you get popping out of a joint doesn't mean it's beneficial. You can have your buddy come up behind you and squeeze you and get some popping. That may not be a very good thing. If you're popping your neck to get your joints moving, that's actually creating more damage to the problem area. And causing more difficulty, and you might end up with a stroke from twisting your neck around like that, so that's not good. But popping of the joints. Do you ever see somebody with super huge knuckles?
Yes, I have them right here, these two.
So, I mean, taking your fingers and pulling them apart and creating a little bit of cavitation of that joint, that's not a problem. You could do that all day long. To just get a pop out of something is not what we're looking for. We're looking to be having a specific adjustment. And if there's an audible with that cavitation of joint, then that's fine. You don't need to have the actual sound to actually make an adjustment, such as activator adjustment, such as toggle recoil adjustments.
Right.
The Atlas orthogonal adjustment. You don't need to have an audible. And the popping was like, oh, look, I made this pop. I made this pop. Yeah, no. That's just kind of weird. And the TikTok videos and the YouTubers. I mean, we used to have Dr. Google come in with his diagnosis all the time. You know, well, I Googled this. I Googled that. Now I saw this on TikTok. Can you do it? No, it's just, I mean, I'm not going to do some of the
Isn't
things.
Isn't that just show business?
It's show business. They're getting views. And the one guy, I guess he's a nice guy. I don't know him, but he's super huge on TikTok. He showed up at Palmer College of Chiropractic, Davenport, Iowa, in his scrubs with his name and his. Well, you don't wear your uniform to a homecoming, bro. What are you doing? But we know who you are. I mean, you don't have to point it out that you're that guy and come in. I thought that was a little ridiculous. I'm sorry, brother, if you're listening, but come on. Put a shirt and tie on and rock and roll with us. But I mean, you're not there for promoting your business. You're there to learn and you're there to hang out with your fellow chiropractors. But that I thought was interesting.
Is there a period of study by you of the patient before you will put your hands on them?
Yes.
Is there a moment that you'll take?
There's a moment that I'll take. So, yes. And especially if we're talking about young females, super nervous, right? We have to be very careful because we don't want their experience to be some creepy guy who just came in and started touching me and started, you know, moving. We have to actually say what's going on. Sometimes we won't adjust first visit. If there's things going on that we think, listen, I gotta send this to the radiologist or we send you for an MRI. We have to do some other things. I'm going to wait for you, or you're so nervous that, just why don't you come back tomorrow and let me review some stuff. But usually we'll take that, you know, good hour to get to know the patient, do the exam, do our analysis and sit and explain what we're going to do. And, okay, we're going to adjust you now, and this is what it's going to take. And before we do it, we don't just lay them on the table. Well, somebody adjusted my neck before. They just grabbed my neck and turned it, ripped it, and popped my neck. Well, that's not what they do, and that might have been your experience, because they didn't explain that correctly before we did that. But we always have that moment of let's assess what we're doing, and then we'll go about our adjustment.
You're listening to Conversations Unlimited with Dr. Todd Kersey of Kersey Chiropractic here in Anchorage on AM 700 KBYR. We'll be right back with Dr. Kersey after this. You're listening to Conversations Unlimited with Dr. Todd Kersey of Kersey Chiropractic here in Anchorage on AM 700 KBYR. I'm Dave Stroh. Dr. Kersey, what normally happens during a chiropractic adjustment? Let's say if it was a Walt Disney health film that you saw in elementary school. From the moment that you started the adjustment, what happens from that point in the human body?
Wow. So what happens is that when we make an adjustment, we are not moving a bone from point A to point B, like boom, boom, and saying, all right, we've got bone aplates. We are relying on the inboard intelligence of the body to do what it's supposed to do with that adjustment. So we put the force into the body.
And does it spark at that moment?
Yeah, I think it sparks right at that moment when your body says, okay, nerve interference removed. Now innate intelligence can freely flow and that life force can come down from the brain, spinal cord, out to every single cell in the body, adapt, coordinate. It is the body's response to the adjustment that's the adjustment. I'm not the guy who's making the changes. I'm not healing anything. Your body's doing all the healing, but it is that instant when I adjust you, I didn't do it. Your body did it. I just knew where to go to get rid of that interference so your body can heal, and that innate intelligence comes over and adapts, and that's how it works.
In that Walt Disney Health cartoon of the 60s, would we see a spark of color and then it would just go permeate throughout the body?
Because the innate intelligence functions over and through the nervous system. So is it really through the nerves? Is it over the nerves? Is it an energy thing? Who knows, man, because you can't see it. And it's in that other realm. So it would be one of those little sparkly little Tinkerbell things where it's that fairy dust on there. You're making it's real. But yeah. I mean, where is it going? It's changing lives. Yesterday, talking to a patient who's no longer on her depression drugs.
Oh, great.
I mean, that's huge.
Yes.
I mean, huge. And I didn't take her off the drugs. She went back to her doctor and her medical doctor and got off the drugs because she's doing so much better. Her attitude's better. Her posture's better. Her nervous system's better. She's not having the anxiety. Her parasympathetics are up or sympathetics are down, which is what we want. So that fairy dust, I mean, I could make that stuff. That would be a movie, right? Because I would be like, oh, I came in for this and then this is what happened. That's a fairy tale.
Are you able to tell the patient what they should experience during a chiropractic adjustment?
Yes, and we'll often say like the young lady's new adjustments yesterday, a couple of new patients yesterday. I said, you may feel euphoria after this adjustment, ooh, and you may have no soreness. But if you do have soreness and feel like you got hit by a Mack truck, here's your ice pack. And here's what you need to do, because who knows how the body's going to react, because it is that reaction. You may have reaction of an adjustment. And you may have the worst headache you've ever had. You may feel like, oh, my goodness, my shoulders are sore and I can't move. But that means, you know, it's like going to the gym. You go to work out, like I'm going after this with go pump up. And if I don't have that reaction, if I'm not a little sore, if I don't feel like I've worked out, did I really do anything? So when we make an adjustment, it's nice to see some kind of reaction, whether it is euphoria and no pain, that's a reaction, or whether it is really, really sore and feel like some work's being done. So it all depends on how the body reacts. And sometimes it'll be a couple adjustments in, and all of a sudden they have a different soreness or a different feeling or a different sense of being, because it is an impulse force over time. It's like braces on your teeth. We don't just tighten them down one day, take them off the next day. It is over time getting that nervous system back on track.
I would just like to say, with my deformed spine, seeing you in your office, I have never had a reaction. In fact, every time I see you, just like today, I'm going to go to the gym afterwards.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
Are you functioning well?
I am functioning very well. I'm walking 2 miles a day.
That's beautiful.
I sleep well.
That's beautiful.
I don't have any anxiety.
And no of that thing. What's that P word, that four-letter word people always think about? Pain?
Pain, no.
Yeah, no, you don't have any of that, do you?
Not so much.
No. So, I mean, it's pretty good. And you have a spine of spines. Your spine is wackadoo.
I'm special.
You're special.
Why don't spinal adjustments cause increased discomfort to a patient already painful condition?
Oh, so, you hurt me. I said, well, you came in, you said you were 10 out of 10. It didn't get any worse than that, so I made things worse. No. And so when you get adjusted, sometimes when you're even in the position, say you're on a side-lying position, I'm going to adjust your low back. I'm going to do a move on your low back that's going to be an adjustment, and you're in severe pain. Sometimes to get on your side or for me to even get you in that position is painful. But the adjustment is so fast, and so it should be high velocity. So we're not getting there and stretching and just tearing it apart and going, oh, you feel that? We're getting in there, and it's boom. It's an adjustment.
Yes.
And that force, that rapid high velocity, low force technique that goes into there shouldn't cause more pain. But sometimes getting into the position, even people with acute torticollis, when their neck, you can't move your head from side to side and you can't turn and you need a baseball hat to pull your head off the pillow, that would be the brim pulling you up. Mm-hmm. Just to get in that position for the adjustment is painful. But the actual adjustment when it goes boom shouldn't be.
What does the recovery process look like in chiropractic after the adjustments begin?
Oh, the recovery, it all depends on your situation. Mm-hmm. Are you in severe pain? Are you there for more of a wellness check and making sure you don't have any problems? And it is, again, set up for you. So if you're getting adjusted a few times a week for the first repair stage of chiropractic and we're getting that correction in there, that's going to look a little different. Now, you may have zero pain after the first few adjustments. That doesn't mean the problem's gone. It just means the pain's gone. And pain is the last thing you'll feel and the first thing to go away. And you'll realize that. So if we get things functioning better, you'll notice, oh, I don't have those headaches anymore. Oh, I am sleeping better. Oh, mm-hmm. I don't have my gastritis anymore. I don't have the heartburn. So you'll see the different functions as they come through, I have tingling in my left hand, in my left pinky, and I'll say, have you had that before? Well, I used to have it years ago. Well, we'll see that retracing of symptoms you had a long time ago, and they'll reappear, and then they'll go away. So we'll see different things as you go. So everybody's repair is a little bit different. It depends on how much correction you need and how much we have to work with you and also your compliance. Hey, I think you need to be here a couple times a week for the next few weeks. This is what we need to do. And you don't show up and you come back a year later and go, that didn't work last time. But you didn't listen to a word I said. And that's a problem. And if I give you a program, if I have 27 and a half years experience of knowing exactly what you have and what this condition entails, and I don't know how you're going to respond to it, but I have a pretty good idea, and you don't listen, well, I'm not going to call you and beat you up and say, oh, you missed your point. I don't care. I mean, if you don't want to listen, to me, that's up to you.
You bring up my next question. How do you determine the length of the treatment plan, which seems to be another of the irrational myths that have swirled around your profession?
Once you go chiropractor, you always got to go. Once you go to the dentist, you always got to go. Once you buy a car, you always got to put gas in it. Once you get on blood pressure medication, you always got to be on it. There's just maintenance and correction and repair. And how do we determine that? We like to shoot for every 12 visits. Every 12 visits, whether it's once a week, once a month, once a year, we want to kind of see where you are. Mm-hmm. So after this, like the lady in the car accident yesterday, after a couple weeks, we're going to do a re-exam and see how she responded to care. See if her range of motion is better. See if the orthopedic, she had almost every orthopedic neurological test positive yesterday you could think of. She had positive Stone Hall, she had positive leg lowering, she had positive fabric pack. She was a mess, right? So in 2 weeks, I want most of those tests, if not all those tests, to be gone. I want them to be all negative, and I want her to be functioning. I want her to be able to turn her head back and forth without pain. So I'll take her through all those tests. We'll reestablish. We'll say, okay, we did well in the first couple weeks of care. Now we're going to cut things back a little bit and see if you can repair. Let's do some home spinal exercises. Let's do some different techniques to get you back to where you need to be. And then another 12 visits, we're going to say, oh, let's do that again. And then see. And then when she's back at pre-injury status, when she is for, say, a car accident, mm-hmm. when she feels like she was functioning and we can determine, because if we didn't see her before the car accident, so we don't know for sure. But if she can tell me, hey, I didn't have any headaches. I didn't have any neck pain. I didn't have any low back pain. I didn't have any arm tingling. I didn't have those things before the car accident. Now I have all those things. And then when we're at exam and we say, okay, we don't have any symptoms, our full range of motion is back, we're at pre-injury status, and then we let her go. And if she wants to maintain chiropractic care every couple, 4 weeks or something like that, then we can do that for her, but we will close the case down.
Do your patients experience a lot of side effects and complications after their chiropractic visit?
Yeah, a lot of side effects we see is higher energy, more energy, better sleep, better digestion, a happier, smiling face. They're the kind of side effects we see.
Sure.
Yeah.
And do you encourage your patients to consider ongoing chiropractic care?
I sure do. I think if your nervous system is not maintained, if your nervous system is not checked on a regular basis, you are missing the boat on overall better health. And I go down to Arizona. My kids moved down to Arizona. This will be their sixth year down there. I make sure I'm down there every 2 weeks because I never want my kids to go 2 weeks without an adjustment, because I know if they have an injury, within 2 weeks, degeneration starts. That's what the research shows. I want to make sure my kids are adjusted. I want to make sure they're maintaining their mm-hmm. spinal health. I make sure I and that's what we developed that practice down here as more of a wellness practice, the maintenance practice for people to stay well. So I really do believe that everybody should be under chiropractic care because I think you should eat well. I think you should think well. I think you should exercise well every day. I think you should do all the normal things that you should do. And I think chiropractic care should be one of those things that you should do on a regular basis. And if you don't, you don't. How can you tell me I have need chiropractic care? I don't need chiropractic. And your diet stinks. And you don't sleep. It's all about choices.
You're listening to Conversations Unlimited with Dr. Todd Kersey of Kersey Chiropractic here in Anchorage on AM 700 KBYR. Our conversation with Dr. Kersey continues right after these messages. You're listening to Conversations Unlimited with Dr. Todd Kersey of Kersey Chiropractic here in Anchorage on AM 700 KBYR. I'm Dave Stroh. Dr. Kersey, senior advocate Rona Barrett said this past week that whether you're a young 65 or you're a mature 85, ailments begin to happen to all of us in our senior years, even if we haven't been sick a day in our lives. As someone who is not 65 yet, how are you preparing for that day when you are?
That's a really great question. So, like, we just had a terrible thing happen. My dad passed away.
Yes, I'm sorry.
September 21st, and he never had an ailment. He never had a symptom. He never had anything. Why he got what he got at his end stages of his last week, we'll never know. But playing hardball and exercising and ailment free, and all of a sudden severe low back pain. Went to the chiropractor. Chiropractor said something's wrong with your dad. This isn't nerve. So turned out to be a tumor, compression fracture, and putting pressure on nerves. Couldn't walk. Went there. Lymphoma throughout the entire body. Ugh. And just and it only lasted about a week when I got there, and it was a really tough thing, and I still haven't processed, so I might process it one day. I might just be like break down on the show, you know, but
it's a long process.
But I think that how I'm preparing for it is I'm not worrying about it. I'm gonna live. I'm gonna eat right. Mm-hmm. I always joking around because they dropped off a bunch of hoagies and the Italian hoagies and they and L&M Bakery and we had pizza. And my mom's like, "You're eating too much junk." I said, "Does it matter? Look at Dad. He ate well his entire life." And he put instead of salt and pepper, we had kelp and capsicum for our salt and pepper as kids. He put chlorophyll and Bepon on his ice cream, and he loved ice cream. And you know, he ate well, exercised, and those kind of things that he taught me, and do what he did. That's why I'm a chiropractor. I mean, that's why I'm doing what I'm doing, and that's how I'm going to live. I'm not going to worry about my ailments when I'm 65. I'm going to exercise today after we get done the show. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do the things that are necessary to maintain my existence as long as I can. And if I get ailments later on, great, I'll deal with them. But I'm doing all the preventative things now. I'm doing the eating right, thinking right, sleeping right. I'm trying to do as many things as I can right now so I don't have as many ailments. And I want to be at 85 young and healthy like my dad was, 87 yes. years old. I don't want to be like sitting in a wheelchair and sorry, Angela. That's a joke. I don't want to live that life. I want to make sure we're going forward and doing everything. I'm not gonna give up. I'm not gonna say, "Oh, well, I'm old, therefore I have these problems. Oh, I'm 65, that's why I'm getting old stinks." No, it doesn't. It doesn't have to.
I'm 65.
You are? You're good looking for 65.
Thank you. Taking care of myself.
Yeah, you're taking. So that's what we want to do. We want to live like that. We don't want to sit here and say, "Well, I'm old. That's why I have problems." No, you have problems because you think you're old.
Thank you so much for your honesty in answering that question. Let's talk about Kersey Chiropractic. What are your hours of operation?
Who knows
as you get
anymore?
Back on
who
the,
knows anymore?
You've been gone for
I've
a couple
gone,
days.
I've been gone so long. Somebody should be there all day 9 to 6 to answer your calls. If you have any calls about seeing another chiropractor or getting into another chiropractor, we see patients most of the day, Monday, Wednesday, Friday in the morning and in the afternoon, and just Tuesday, Thursday afternoons seeing patients because we have to get our stuff done during the day.
Yes, you do. Dr. Kersey, I want to thank you for sharing this hour with us. If you would like to live a life of better health and wellness, you can call Kersey Chiropractic here in Anchorage at what number, my friend?
569-9355.
We're going to work on his voice in the next couple of weeks. Dr. Kersey will join us again next Tuesday at 8 a.m. for another Conversations Unlimited. I'm Dave Stroh. Have a good week.